Heritage Building Maintenance and Palmer Group. We'll be talking more about them as the show goes on. Also, just to give you, so last night was that. So Wednesday is the first. So tomorrow, starting tomorrow, 5:15, you get Ohio State, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska. On Thursday, you get Rutgers, Michigan, Penn State, Illinois, and Maryland plays somebody. And then Michigan State will play somebody, Northwestern will play somebody, and Indiana will play something. Then the Saturday is semis. Sunday's the championship, and then we're also giving you the Selection Sunday show as well. So all of that is happening. All of these games and all the ones I mentioned are all the Big Ten minus Iowa, because they have another channel to play
they
on.
Do.
So that is why there was a question mark and a question mark and a question mark. So interesting, though. You thought last weekend was great because it was the end of the season for some. Some were already having your tournaments. You had the Big Ten Women's Tournament, which was...
Wow. Holy Moses.
I don't know how people compete against that. I can't wait to see if they can, because it was some of the best basketball that I've seen. Men, women, NBA, battled, hit shots. I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, it was... I don't know how you could... I don't know how the only thing that can make it better, and I get it, is it was on the Big Ten Network, and I understand that. But man, you had some marquee games that it's too bad that you couldn't get them on ESPN or
Well, we watched the Ohio State Indiana game. We were over in Cedar Rapids because we got baseball already started too over in that neck of the woods, and we were in a place called the Peddler's Fork.
Of course you were.
We were having a
couple of beverages.
Yeah, exactly. Having some beverages and watching basketball, and it was black and gold. And it was, I mean, it was, because we watched the one going into the other, but there was a lot of opinions on even watching that game, Ohio State, Indiana, because everybody kind of was like, come on, Ohio State. Yeah. Didn't want to go up against Indiana again, but
no, I
think Ohio State spent a lot on that game.
and somebody, it was really funny. And so I think some of the people, so we went and Macy had a Rhythmette show out at Southeast Polk. So people were kind of coming and going.
That would be your niece.
My niece, okay, yes. Okay. Sorry.
Not everybody knows the family tree there. Come on, Stain.
I forgot. I'm not talking to you like we're outside sitting.
I know. These things are on.
Okay.
So they're all right.
And so we went to the bunker during the middle and was sitting there.
Yeah.
And a lot of Iowa Hawkeyes. That little Copper Creek area is filled with Iowa Hawkeyes, not Iowa State Cyclones. And they're sitting, and all of them are sitting in there, and they're sitting at the
Except
bar.
Except for Lacey. Yeah. Lacey's out there.
And they're watching me, and we're watching the game, and I'm bending and going and doing all this. And they're like, you're a Cyclone fan. Yep. And I'm an Iowa fan. Iowa women's basketball fan, because I enjoy watching her play. And they're like, well, what's your take? And I'm like, this Big Ten tournament was the epitome of what she is. Yes, can she score and win you a basketball game? Absolutely. Yes, she also can score by getting people in the right places and getting them the ball and when they're hitting shots. I mean, the biggest knock on Caitlin Clark is she's an arrogant blah, and she's not. I mean, she is arrogant. arrogant's the wrong word. Ball hoggish.
Oh, no. I mean, come on, man. When she did that baby hook pass in the lane for an assist.
To Monica.
Oh, my Lord.
Or the one where she hit that pass to Molly Davis, Molly Davis threw it up and then got knocked on.
Yes.
If that basket hoop wouldn't have been there, she'd have been in like the third row.
Right.
She was diving on the floor.
She was less ball hoggy and a little more WWE with her ear to the crowd.
Want her to be arrogant.
Well, it was warranted and it was okay.
And it is okay. And it wasn't like the other teams that they played. And I was talking to Coach O'Hare yesterday, and we both almost said it at the same time. And one of the gals that she was playing against, it's Brad Sellers' daughter. I still remember Brad Sellers when he was playing. I mean, God, Brad Sellers and I have to be really close in age. And it's amazing how good.
You better get careful doing that, because you're going to say that sometime. You're going to be off and offend somebody. So be careful.
I'm way older than he is. I don't think I'm way older than him, but I don't know. Could be.
Comment was made as we came walking in the studio today. Somebody goes, "Hey, Batman and Robin here," and I said, "Well, I'm definitely Robin because I'm younger." And then you went with the height comment.
We are
a wink of within height.
Okay,
here.
Take your hair off, and we're 2 inches.
Oh, I know. God's already taken yours off. So,
exactly.
All right, we're good.
It's all that height. I hit stuff.
Let's go with that.
That's the problem. We said we're going to have one of those shows today because there's a lot of stuff to talk. There were so many things to talk about yesterday, but I have to get your opinion on this because it is a. I'm not the biggest fan. I'm a true fan of the Iowa Hawkeyes. I am not a big fan of Gary Barnes.
Wondered how quick you'd dive into this.
Yeah,
okay.
And I think that he not that he's misled Iowa, you know, I just if they had and this is gonna really tick people off, if they had somebody that was more of a Jamie Pollard type,
right?
I'm not saying Jamie Pollard, but a Jamie Pollard type, I think that program would be totally different. And I'm not a big fan of politics anymore either, because a lot of people
I don't feel that this went
politics.
Went political. This
no.
didn't go left or right on this.
It was no
and
it had people on both sides.
Let's say this out loud so the conversation we're having is not just a from left field conversation. We are discussing the fact that there was a settlement,
right,
that was made, and it was what, $4.6 million, because there was a discrimination lawsuit towards the Iowa Hawkeyes. There was multiple. There was Brian. There was Kirk. There was the
Gary Barta.
The
and I'm not I.
But here's the thing. There was also the strength coach. He was there. But we've heard so many things that they said, no, we want this. We don't want to do a settlement because everything has been recanted in arbitration. That, you know, as this went down, the reason that it even came down to that. The Board of Regents was also listed, so therefore $2 million of this was going to be out of the general fund.
Right.
That it was going to be paid for by the state, quote unquote, as everybody likes to say, to get people riled up, by the taxpayers.
Yeah.
Okay. From everything you're reading and I'm seeing, Kirk didn't want this to be settled.
No.
Kirk's like, no, let's talk about this.
But they also, I think what their lawyers did, they had Gary Barta and Kirk and Brian Ferentz and the weightlifting coach. They had them in there to get notoriety because just having the board and having
the
that, you needed that.
Yeah, we just can't sue the school. A school is not a face. The face is the guys.
Can we point blank for the players' lawyers? Can we point blank say that we saw this happen? You know, they can say it didn't happen and we can say it did happen and they can get collaborating and we can get collaborating. And it's never going to go anywhere. So all these lawsuits always start with as many as you can get, and then it hones in on the people that have the money. They weren't getting any money out of Kirk Ferentz. They weren't getting any money out of Brian Ferentz. They were going to get money from the university, sports. They were going to get it from the athletic department, and then by bringing the other in, you make sure that you get it from the state of Iowa as well.
And that's what was because I saw so quickly there's so much money generated by just the football program alone. Why doesn't the football program write the check and make this go away? It's the way that it was worded that it was not just the coaches. It went beyond to Gary Bard. It went beyond to the Board of Regents that it became something that, hey, they're going to take care of part of this. We are settling with this as well as an entity because they came after us. That's where our money comes from is general fund.
And what they – when they brought the Board of Regents in, it's not – it wasn't – the reason that they could do that, it wasn't – the first, and it hasn't been the last complaint that had been out there. This was just had the most people, athletes in it. My thing that I thought was funny, and I knew it wasn't going to happen because I didn't think Rob Sand could get another person to vote that way, but the board of it, I don't know if it's the board of adjustment or whatever.
Right, exactly. The three of them.
And you have to have at least two votes. Right. And they agreed.
It took 15 minutes and there was two things to vote on.
Yep.
They were in and out quick.
Yep. And he was pushing Rob Sand just to get that. I mean, because he needed to get it out there.
We've heard his voice.
That he said, listen, we'll change this and let it all be the university. All you have to do is you have to let Gary Barta go.
Right.
And then he went on, and a lot of people on both sides of the aisle in the Iowa House stated today, listen, this is the fourth one.
That's the big thing. Yes,
yeah,
this
it's not.
Is,
this
not
wasn't
an
the
isolated...
first one. This wasn't. You know, this was the fourth one. When you have four things happen that you've had to pay money out for, when does the when does it kick in that you're responsible? Even if you keep saying you're not responsible for, you are responsible for everything in the athletic department. That's the toughest thing about being an athletic director.
Right.
I mean, it's already tough enough to be a coach.
You just can't take the, hey, we've had this many 8-plus win seasons. I've done really well with Fran McCaffrey. He's liked by the Brands brothers. He's, you know, Lisa Bruder likes him too. So he's, hey, look at all the good things I've done. My guys are doing great. You got to be accountable for the whole palette.
Everybody thought Penn State was really, really good and a really good institution. Finds out maybe it wasn't.
That's those things.
You think these guys are beyond reproach because look at everything that they've done. And that's the problem, that how we look at that is, as you're seeing, as you're going through, the Mark, I'm going to forget his name. I was going to say Mark Andrews, but that's not right. The head coach of Texas Tech in an angry locker room going, you know, quoting biblical times is really cool until you can't quote biblical times because it's not biblical times anymore.
Yes.
And when you're at a public university or a private university, either way, it's something that you cannot do. He's going to lose his job for it. He was probably going to lose his job anyway. Right. But that's what we want to be able to see, is there can't be a pattern, and there's a pattern. Listen, every time Fran McCaffrey has gotten into trouble, or Dan McCarney, or this coach and that coach, they've corrected the behavior.
Larry Eustace.
It's not, you know, it's either correct your behavior or you will be gone. Iowa State just went through that with Caleb Grill. We haven't talked hardly at all about it. And what I think the final thing was, if you want to continue down this path that you're continuing on, then we're going to have to do something about it. And they had to do something about it.
Right.
And that's what I want from my athletic department. And I'm not blaming, listen, it's not, when you take a look at what a football program is and you have that many kids and you can only play this many kids, and you're always going to have people that are not happy or are going to do things or say things. But some of these weren't just happenstance things. Were they going to win if what happened and Kirk and those guys said, well, some of that stuff, you know, that was recanted in that. And I'm like, because they had nothing to lose. If you're in a court of law, their stuff wasn't going to be recanted. And it's no different than what happened to Chris Beard. Yes. And this is the last thing that I said yesterday, and I'll be the last I say today, is when you're going through stuff, bullying or harassment, the number one thing about those things is people usually don't get it settled and it just gets worse.
Yep.
Because they're not going to say anything about the person who's harassing them, because normally the person harassing them is someone who they really care about.
Right.
And that's what happens. But that's our out as fans, right? Well, look, he wasn't charged by the police department. Well, the police department can't charge him if the person that he did it doesn't want to press charges.
Right. Exactly.
It's difficult. But the great thing about it is you can lose your job over it because it's not what the university needs. And Chris Beard was kind of a prickly guy anyway.
Right.
And they're like, you know, he wins a lot of basketball games, but man, he makes a lot of people angry.
With that point right there, that goes back to Gary Barta.
Yep.
Okay. In a normal business, if you had four incidents against you of that level that had to be paid out, you would no longer have your job in that institute.
And that's the part that I get what the university has done, but I don't think the athletic department has gotten everything out of it that they could because of him. And I don't know him from a hill of beans. This is always my deciding factor on Gary Barta. Mr. Wolfgang loved everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. There's not a person. Mm-hmm. This is why we were like, you and me and him, two peas in a pod. We could walk into a room and we're going to find people and we're going to start talking to them and we're going to be there for 4 hours.
Yep.
Man, did he not like Gary Barta.
Really?
Wow. We had him on one time and Wolfgang asked him one question and he danced around it and set his headphones down and he walked out the door. And
Gary Barta never came back on either.
No, he did not. And when he came back in, he's like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, totally get it, dude. We're good. I just kept on asking questions. But it's a difficult thing. So, yeah, we got there. We got the negative out because I really didn't talk about it much yesterday because I was kind of waiting to see what happened. I was surprised that it got pushed through so quickly because I think once they knew it was going to happen, I think they wanted that off the news cycle as quickly as they could.
Right. And it's the sheer quickness of Kirk's personal lawyer releasing their statement of all the recanting of no, we're distancing ourselves from this. This was not our decision to settle, because so many people think settle means you're guilty and let's just make it go away.
Right. And the thing I'll add one more, recanting because of pressure happens all the time as well. And there was a lot of peer pressure on those young men who brought that lawsuit. And,
right. Exactly.
Not to mention the fact that they were bringing that lawsuit knowing it was going to cause an uproar and people were going to dislike them for trying to take down the team.
The man.
So, interesting stuff. We said this was going to be an organic show, man. It's an organic show today.
Organic entertainment at the finest.
It is. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. We got trivia tonight at Grand Junction. We're looking forward to that. We got a bunch more for you. We'll be right back.
Iowa Sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Tuesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Steen on Sports, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. Website is 1700thechamp.com. Remember, if you're out and about and maybe you're somewhere you can't get some of these games, you can download the 1700 or 101.3, the app, whatever one it's on, and click the microphone. You can listen to everything that's on the radio live.
Oh, you don't even need to download it. Just go to your 1700thechamp.com, and it comes up,
you're right there. So that's if you're in your car, you're in all that.
We've done that forever.
It's awesome.
If we're traveling over to the east side of the state, we will pop you on and put it through the Bluetooth in the car, and it sounds like you're right there with us.
Yep,
so.
Just sitting there talking to my buddies. You got the first read, my friend.
First read, of course. It's Northwest Bank, commitments you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, or private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Northwest Financial Group earned the Workplace Award for the 8th year in a row from the Des Moines Register. Check out Northwest Bank mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans with Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait. Open an account with Northwest Bank. Commitments you can bank on. Member FDIC.
There we go.
You know, I right before that, you were looking a little disheveled as you came in, like you weren't quite prepared. I thought, man, you haven't hit your magic buttons yet. And there you are. Good job out of you.
All good to go.
Did you wrap up Girl State?
No, I did not.
So this is kind of as I was looking through, because we were talking about it last week. Trying to get the local flair and things like that. So with class 5A, we did get down to Pleasant Valley versus Dowling, Johnston versus Ankeny Centennial. Pleasant Valley did defeat Dowling.
That was a good basketball game. I watched both of those games.
And then Johnston did defeat Ankeny Centennial 42-35. So you had a final of Pleasant Valley number 1, number 2 Johnston, and it was a 59-56 victory for Pleasant Valley.
It was a great game. A lot of talent on the
floor. That was the one. As I was looking through these, again, it was the same kind of a feel in the class 4A. We get down to Dallas Center Grimes versus Ballard. I wish I would have been able to see this one. Dallas Center Grimes, 33-32 over Ballard.
Another great game.
North Polk over Sioux City Heland, 53-41. So you got a final of DCG, the number 1 seed, against number 2 seed North Polk, and it was a overtime game that Dallas Center Grimes won 57-50.
That little neck of the woods right there, man, they battle. I mean, in baseball, football, basketball,
absolutely,
wrestling, everything. It's fun. So my service, my guy at Ankeny Medical Park has a grandson that goes to North Polk, and baseball, football, everything, man. Dallas Center Grimes is, it's getting to a point I can't believe, I mean, for us, for my company, or and for all the companies, all that we're building in Grimes is just crazy.
Right.
It is so much different than it was eight years ago.
Right. It's the Adel corridor, the Grimes corridor, the Dallas Center, the we've got friends in Redfield. Redfield feels like it's getting really, really close to Adel, and
exactly.
We know Adel is close to the metro now. So
yeah, and they don't put a flyover in because you're not going to have growth.
No, exactly.
So exactly. We kind of figured that out. And what a great thing that is.
All right, jump over to 3A. We were Vinton Shelsburg against Benton Community. And then it was Solon against Sioux Center. Benton Community beat Vinton to get to the finals. Sioux Center beat Solon to get to the finals, which this one was number 4 Benton against number 7 Sioux Center. Sioux Center had quite the path to get there. Beat West Marshall first round, beat number 2 Solon second round. Sioux Center becomes a 62-47 victor to win the Class 3A title. That was a good one. Let's see here. Class 2A, our friends from Dyke New Hartford versus Sibley.
Sibley.
Dyke beat them 61-52. Central Lyon over Pocahontas to have a Dyke New Hartford versus Central Lyon, and Dyke became the victors on that one. So you've got state champs girls out of Dyke. And last one's the Algona Garrigan. Audie Cooks going up there to Iowa State. Let's see, Algona against Remsen. Obviously, that was – I'm just going to run through here on these scores. The Algona versus Martinsville, 67-43. Algona versus Remsen, 73-39. And then so in the final, it was Newell Fonda beat North Lynn to get into the final. So you get a number 1 against number 2. Algona was a 68-57 victor. Again –
40 points.
The stuff that I've seen, the recap, the footage, man, from 5A down to 1A, what a great weekend of basketball.
And it's going to continue because just as many girls who were playing in the tournament who were getting ready to go on and play college basketball at any level was a lot. Their Division I girls that were there playing, not as much in girls basketball because If you, all that you're seeing there and all those scores, and especially 5A, those are young teams. Johnston is a young team. Dowling is a young
right.
team. I mean, they're all extremely young. But now you're starting to get into boys action, and it's going to be exciting. A lot of 5A in boys basketball is going to be crazy. Coach O'Hare kind of touched on it just a little bit that If you want to see some good basketball, you need to go watch some of those 5A games.
There isn't actually 5A.
Is it 4A
it's
in boys?
Sorry. Well, I'm looking through my...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, all right, to talk to your 4A, you've got... Oh, it's all tomorrow. So it starts 2 o'clock tomorrow. Or, 10:30 a.m. tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. So you got Cedar Rapids Kennedy against Pleasant Valley again.
Yep.
You've got Valley, West Des Moines Valley, against Norwalk. You've got Waukee against Ames. And Waukee Northwest against Ankeny Centennial.
So is Waukee Northwest going to have to play each other before they get to the championship game?
If you got the 10:30 game and you got the 12:15 game, number 2 Waukee against number 7 Ames, Victor plays the victor between Waukee Northwest and Ankeny Centennial.
Man, what a game that'll be. not that either one of those teams could get beat, but... That's gonna be fun to watch. There's some really good basketball players.
Well, and I'll have to take a look because in the Class 3A, the Bondurant Farrar versus Algona game should be over.
Bondurant had a lead and then lost the lead.
So there's that one, and then Newton versus North Polk should be starting up right now as well.
Yep, and that North Polk once again another.
Yeah, it's. North Polk, Pleasant Valley. I mean, it's all – I love to see the – this will be the 7:15 game tonight. Xavier, number 2 ranked Xavier, against Des Moines Hoover.
Wow.
Love it, love it, love it.
That's going to be a good game.
Absolutely. Well, all these are just – I mean, unbelievable basketball.
Let's see. So it said, so far today, Pella Christian beat MFL Marmac. That's how you say it. Pella Christian won that game. Central Lion beat Des Moines Christian.
Right. Bondurant Farr. Wait, is that the right one?
Yeah.
Bondurant Farrar Algona. Bondurant Farrar 81, Algona 52.
Wow. That's a big win. That game was close at half, too. So, interesting.
So, yeah, nothing on the Newton North Polk game yet. But basketball, basketball, basketball. And in true state basketball fashion, we have a weather pattern coming in for Wednesday and Thursday.
It's usually during one of them.
Yes. Not as bad as we've had in the past. I think it's just, what is it, by tomorrow morning we could have a heavy dusting or half inch or something like that. I don't know. So, but enough, it's Iowa.
And enough to make everybody drive like we're at the Daytona 500. That's always the best part. Nice job, young man, of taking care of that. One of the things that is, they're starting to ramp this up a little bit, and I think they're ramping this up to see what happens during the NCAA tournament. They have some people are getting involved to make sure that schools are putting the same amount of resources in college athletics, promoting women's sports and men's sports. And they have this huge, what was the term be? I almost called it a term paper, but a report is going to come out to say what that is. And so people are hoping, like just like you did, hey, I hope the facilities at the women's NCAA basketball tournament are in kind to
the
facilities.
Are you referring to last year? There was a conference room with a treadmill, and that was supposed to be the gym facilities for them.
Packaged donuts, yes.
Right. So I think the fact that the level of women's sport right now, and if somebody is verbally doing the pleasantries of, hey, we're going to put down a set of standards in writing, and this is what you're going to give the girls, or there's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where we are at too. And I don't know. You would hope, and that shouldn't be everywhere. You just don't know. But
well, it
the
just,
Iowa women and was it who'd they play?
Ohio State.
369,000 people, the biggest game ever on Big Ten Network.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think if it would have been somewhere, not everybody gets Big Ten Network. So, right. I mean, if it would have been out there.
Oh, and all the reports I've heard, I'd love to talk to, I wish we could have got B-Styles in here, whatever, but it was black and gold in Minneapolis.
Gosh. And it was loud.
It was big time loud.
Wow. That's a really big deal. Both the Iowa women and the Iowa men had the sixth player of the year award winners, Peyton Sanford mm-hmm. and Hannah Stolke. I thought mm-hmm. that was kind of cool. Yep. I've got some baseball.
Obviously, okay, we have Caitlin Clark, Big Ten Player of the Year.
Yeah. Ashley, conference MVP.
Right. Ashley Jones, Iowa State. That's
conference player of the year.
Yep.
We are really, really lucky in this.
We're spoiled with the level of sport here in Central, or in Iowa.
And it's going to be curious to see because Iowa State has some, I mean, they have some good recruits coming in, but replacing Ashley Jones isn't going to be easy.
Not to just run down a stat or whatever, but the recruiting class is highly touted.
Highly touted.
But with Audie, she's a big factor in that class, and I think we really hope we can develop her. I think she's going to be immediately somebody that they're going to lean on.
Well, I agree with that. So this is the one thing I wanted to get off my chest today. So everybody's up in arms that Daniel Jones today, he signed a contract. So Daniel Jones is on the books for 4 years, $160 million with $82 million guaranteed at signing. And there is also $35 million available for incentives. And in doing so, they tag Saquon Barkley for the $10.6 million slot for the running back.
Okay.
That's kind of what's happening to running backs anymore. Running backs used to be the highest paid position next to quarterback. But then understanding that after your 4 year contract that you pretty much the tread was gone, they stopped doing that exactly. And changed the dynamic.
Tread. I like that.
I've listened to so many people.
We have wrung you out and you are dry.
I've listened to so many people on the radio today say that Daniel Jones isn't worth this. Why are they giving him the money? He's been there. He hasn't done anything. And I'm like, okay, once again, this young man was drafted and he had Joe Judge as his coach and an offensive coordinator. They didn't run plays. They didn't bring in people. They didn't bring in talent. They weren't spending their salary cap money. They didn't do anything for him until Brian Daboll came in. Mm-hmm. Brian Daboll came in, fixed a bunch of the stuff that was wrong, actually gave him a quarterback's coach, actually worked an offense that he could work on. And they said, well, he only had 15 touchdown passes. I'm like, did you watch any New York Giants games? Scott and I could have suited up and played wide receiver. That's how good their wide receivers were.
Right.
And their best wide receiver, they couldn't get along with, and traded him for nothing to the Kansas City Chiefs. And Kadarius Toney had one of the best last seven games that you could ever imagine. So,
see, I'm looking at this.
And it's blaming Daniel Jones.
It's a 160 four-year deal, correct?
Yeah, so that would be...
But it's 82 guaranteed.
Right, so you're kicking off... They're kicking that
and
last...
up to 35 in incentive right. per year.
You're kicking off that last $40 million
right.
by giving him upfront 85.
Right.
Which isn't a bad gig. Hey, yeah, I'm signing a four-year, $160 million contract, and they're giving me $85 million tomorrow.
Right.
That's not a bad thing. But, you know, the outrage is that he doesn't deserve it. Well, it's not true because the New York Giants made the playoffs. They had a quarterback that got them to the playoffs. And you have a lot of quarterbacks in this league that are getting paid a lot more than that. Ryan Tannehill gets paid a lot more than that.
Yeah. It's funny what one good year does with a Hall of Fame running back.
Yeah.
And makes you look really, really good.
Did you see
really
that
good.
One today?
Yeah.
That he's on the trading block. Yeah. Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, I'm outraged. Why? Because you can't win paying your running back and having just a running game.
Right.
You
exactly.
have to do something. So,
okay, so Derek Carr was 4 years, $100 million. So you think that was that the right?
No, so
deal?
He had 4 years, $100 million, $25 million a year, and a $40 million upfront signing. That's where he got his money.
Okay,
and I'm fine with that. I think he didn't go somewhere for money. He went somewhere for fit, and he didn't want to be in the AFC.
Well, I've already heard some opinions on what's going to happen down in New Orleans. So we got. Plenty to organically talk about, buddy.
We do. And don't forget, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. We didn't have a good day either. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steve and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Tampa AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Scott and I'll be back right after this show.
1700, the champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 to Champ AM, 101.3 FM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Happy Hour underscore SS, and at 1700 to Champ. The website is 1700 to Champ as well. Facebook's at 1700 to Champ. Is there as well. So we have this segment will be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides, designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services HVAC, lighting, and card access and camera controls for the entire state. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Before you start, I have one more on Daniel Jones. This is what CBS Sports, because they're angry because he only had 15 touchdowns and all these things. Quarterbacks with more passing touchdowns than Daniel Jones in the 2022 season. Davis Mills, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, and Russell Wilson. And I'm like, yep, okay, you got me. And Davis Mills, did he make the playoffs?
No. I was going to say, I don't
Andy
see
Andy Dalton?
No.
Justin Fields?
No.
Russell Wilson? Big no.
Right. That's
so Daniel Jones.
What's the right,
because they had he had more than 15. So another quarterback out there had more than 15 touchdown passes. None of them made the playoffs. What I said all along was, I don't know how good of quarterback Daniel Jones is, but I know he's a bright kid. He went to Duke.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Those four quarterbacks, to me, I'm like, they were throwing the bejesus out of the ball, trying to come from behind
right.
to just win games.
Exactly. And Brian Daboll came from Buffalo. Yeah. And that's the same thing that's coming out about some of these quarterbacks that are Anthony Richardson or a couple. You know, they're not very accurate. When you watch them in college, they're not very accurate. I watched Josh Allen in Iowa City play the Hawkeyes. I could have thrown the ball better than he. I mean, he did not. If there was a wide open receiver, he wouldn't throw to him, but he would throw that ball down the field to nobody. I mean, and right. guess what?
But he threw it a long way.
He threw it a way long way. They learn. They get through it. And I guess that's talk radio, and that's all the things that people are doing, right? You got to have somebody that's willing to take a side, and you'll get these guys to come on radio, and they'll take a side. But you have to be able to explain your side. You just can't say, well, Daniel Jones isn't worth that much money. Okay, the New York Giants made the playoffs. There's a lot of high-priced quarterbacks
yeah.
that did not bring their teams to the playoffs. And that was in a competitive
right.
conference.
And it wasn't like they've been, oh, you know, we've been working on this for 3 to 5 years, and it's, I think this year our breakthrough year. No, this was a wipe your eyes,
wow.
rebuild year. Holy
Brian,
crap.
Brian Daboll yeah. was a lot better yeah. than what people even gave him credit for.
Yeah.
Kind of year.
Yep.
Not going to lie either, dude. Love the glasses.
Thank you.
Very nice.
You know what I like? I like seeing. I didn't realize that I was, let's just say, I was not limited by I'm 2040, 20, whatever it is, 2040, 20. So I was not limited to drive, but now it is so much better to be able to see.
I am such a mismatch because I tried to do bifocal lenses.
No.
It was like being drunk all the time.
No.
Which wasn't horrible.
Like, to me, my screen is my arm length away. My glasses help with that. I don't need them for reading.
Right. I read with no glasses on. I use my phone with no glasses on. And the thing I don't understand is I don't know what the difference between my phone and my computer is, because I take my glasses off, I can't see
again,
anything
on
my computer.
Again, for the radio audience, what prompted that is I took my glasses off and cleaned them, opposed to Gary just, oh, there it is, glasses. It's raccoon, quarter,
yeah,
okay, just, squirrel.
You know.
With that conversation, my phone keeps blowing up. I don't know about yours. Miami has made a statement that they are not pursuing Lamar Jackson. They are not looking at, because everybody says they're, and Rich Eisen was the one to start this. Now, Stephen A. Smith about is if the report, medical report comes back, the Tua can't, look, they're already past that. Tua's going to play. It's whether they want him to play for them. That's what it is. Yeah. They're past that point. But there's all the talk, you know, you've even heard Brady got his daughter's new kitty involved. I have no intent of coming back to the NFL. Do you know how hard it is to raise an adopted kitty? I mean, I thought that was hilarious, but it also was a diversion.
Good. Yeah, I think that's funny that Tom Brady. So as a brother to you.
Yes.
If I'm going into the NFL season next year and
you want me to have Lamar Jackson.
My quarterback is Tua, tell me as an onlooker.
Yes.
What's the percentage that he plays 16 games? 50%?
What are not
50% of the games. Is there a 50% chance that he could play in all 16 games? You're talking about somebody that had
what's the number on his jersey?
Six.
No, one.
One. He's had how many?
50%, oh, that's 50% would be. No, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't put down a dollar to bet that he would go every game next year.
I wouldn't even bet a lot of money that as soon as he's at practice that he's still, who knows how he is.
I know.
And here was the funniest thing. Well, how in the world could Tom Brady go to Miami? He's older than the coach. How are they going to relate? Somebody said that on the radio today. I think he's a lot older than the coach, by the way. I think the coach is 37.
Look, I look at it this way.
I love your coach, by the way.
I do, too. But you and I seem to get along, and there's an age difference.
There is an age difference. Not as much.
So I just – this is the fun, and I always speak of it as the gorilla. The gorilla is always relevant any season, any day, any month out of the year, the gorilla will be in the NFL.
Yes.
We are sitting here talking again of a retired quarterback that wants to be with his kids in Florida. Well, it makes sense. You know, if they need him and Tua can't go. Well, who said anything Tua's not going to go? They've already got past that point.
Well, I think he's going to go. I just don't think he can finish.
That's a whole other thing of, is it the right answer? I don't think it is the right answer. No. But it's the best answer for right now.
Here's the really funny thing. So all of the teams that Lamar Jackson could have went out and talked to today all have said now on public record that they're not going to do that.
Help a brother out here. What transpired between the Ravens and Lamar Jackson today?
Well, Lamar Jackson said, okay, so the Ravens put a non-exclusive tag on Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
They couldn't come to an agreement on a number. And they said, okay, Lamar, you go out and you find us the number. And unless it's outrageous like what Deshaun Watson had, then we're fine with that, because then we'll sit down with you and we'll go off that number. That's the first thing. So that's what everybody's doing. Okay, so and Arthur Blank in Atlanta,
what can we actually afford
all,
to get him for?
Has all kinds of money. All these guys have all kinds of money.
Right.
They could give him whatever he wants to do. I think the reason that I think this is a lot of behind the scenes too. I think it's a lot of behind the scenes with the Players Association. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of behind the scenes with the owners, and the owners are smacking back at number one person they're smacking back at is the Cleveland Browns ownership
for what they did. Just hemorrhage
for
Deshaun Watson.
I think this is what I think that the Players Association is going to get out of this, because if nobody and you can't in a multi-billion dollar business, with Amazon even bringing in multi-more billion dollars for their next deal that they're doing. If somebody of Lamar Jackson, 26 years old, can't get the same money that Deshaun Watson did, even with Deshaun Watson's baggage, guess what the Players Association has now?
Leverage to sue.
This is what I've been talking about.
Right.
The ownership is colluding, so we can't have guaranteed contracts, and we can't get fair value for these players. And did I mention they also happen to be African-American quarterbacks?
Right. I know.
Players Association's like, you know what? Go ahead and do that. All you guys back out on Lamar now and do that. If you take out Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, if I had to rank a quarterback that I really, really wanted besides Patrick Mahomes, And I would do the three, like Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. But I think you put Lamar Jackson in Buffalo's offense, and I think Lamar Jackson blows up.
Okay.
Because I think he's more accurate than Josh Allen is. But there's Lamar Jackson, if at worst, is the sixth best quarterback in the league. And there are going to be 20 quarterbacks that are going to make more money than him. And what this tag, this exclusive tag was $32 million. So that also means that Daniel Jones will make more money than what Lamar Jackson is. That just helps the Players Association even more.
Are they trying to make a point, because he doesn't have an agent, he's trying to do this on their own, they're trying to strong arm him?
I think they're scared about that. But I think the Players Association's scared about that too. The Players Association would much rather him have an agent. I think this would have went quicker, and I think it wouldn't be this deep into it.
Right.
But I think the Players Association sees the greener pasture on the end, right? We're going to get the owners, and we're going to get guaranteed contracts, because that's what they want. That's what the NFL Players Association wants.
We
want our guys to be taken care of.
Guaranteed contracts. If I get hurt, I still get paid.
We'll take less money,
but
it's all guaranteed if we get hurt.
Okay.
And I think that's where they're heading. Zach Steenblok coming in here next at the top of the hour. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans.